Well, thank you for the opportunity to speak this evening. Try to do the best of my ability. Haven't done it for a little while, so might be a little nervous and take a little while to get back into it. Back in 1972, used to be a group by the name of Argent. It came out with a song. Every time I heard that song, I had to crank the radio up and had to listen to it really loud because it meant something to me. Get your head up. Hold your head up. It's something that we sometimes fail to do within our life, and something that we need to look at. In the words of this song says, and if it's bad, don't let it get you down. You can take it. If it hurts, don't let them see you cry. You can make it. Then it goes on saying in the chorus, hold your head up, hold your head up. And it goes on and says, if they stare, just let them burn their eyes on you moving. And if they shout, don't let it change a thing that you're doing. Hold your head up. And sometimes we as Christians, we get a little down and we let things bother us. And in this world, it's not a very fair world that we live in. And there's our problems that we face in our everyday life. And we try to hold our head up as much as we can. And as Brother Dan spoke this morning about fasting and prayer, it's something that we need to do in our daily lives. And we need to look at it a little bit more this evening and how we need to face the problems within our life. Things in this life will try to beat you down constantly, sickness, whatever it is, problems in the work or maybe job related or anything else. Could be our children that's given us our problems. We still need to try to put up with these things and deal with them. In John, the 16th chapter, verse 33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The fact that Christ has overcome problems of death, and we all must face that at one point or the other. But he also faced some of the things in life that we probably never ever faced within our lifetime. The idea that he ended up being ridiculed and was trying to be proven wrong by the Pharisees and Sadducees and was being mocked at, and that he was crucified upon the cross. We would never suffer like he did upon that cross. The way he was beaten and mocked at and made fun of. And things that we really need to take a good look at within our lives. The fact is, the physical things of life are frankly just plain worthless. We can't take it with us. It is something that we use for a little while and it disappears. It will deteriorate. In Ecclesiastes, the 2nd chapter, verse 17, therefore, if I hated life, because the work that is wrought underneath the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. We stand there, we put a lot of time within our jobs and maybe work and try to advance ourselves. And then we end up finding out that it all deteriorates in the end. I've known people fight over property and end up realize it. We're just renting that property for a short period of time. It'll end up in somebody else's hand. You worked hard for it, but you can't take it with you. You just use it. You're just renting it, as you would say, up on the face of this earth. And we need to understand that. And this is what Ecclesiastes said in the writer there, trying to get across. Those things have been given to us to use. And we may work hard for it, but it ends. We can't take it with us. If you raise a farm, you can put all your hard work into it, but when you die, where's it to go? You may pass it on to your children, they may end up selling it off and just don't care anymore. And that happens within our country. And also the fact, we need to understand that what we have to enjoy what you have because sorrow abounds in this life. And again, in Ecclesiastes, the second chapter, verses 22 through 24. For what hath a man of all his labor, of the vexation of his heart, wherein he has labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrow and a travail grief, yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This also is vanity. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it is from the hand of God. Again, we sit there, we work hard, we try to earn the things we have, and try to improve ourselves and our lives, but at the same time, we sit back and worry every night. Am I going to be working long enough to be able to pay these things off? Am I able to pass it down to my children? And we start worrying about these things, and they start getting into our mind. And we start having sorrow because we're tied up in what we own and what we're trying to get and trying to make our lives better. It's better for us just to enjoy the things of life that we have and realize God has given it to us and that we need to appreciate what he has done for us. There are a lot of things within this life that we really don't need. I see people stand there and buy these cell phones, and they spend, I think one's coming out now, $1,500. I go to Walmart and buy mine for $29.99 when it's on sale, and I could talk just as good as anybody else a lot of times. It's vanity. It's useless. It's worthless. And we worry about how we're going to pay for these things within our lives. We go out and buy a fancy car, as me and Earl was talking before services. There are cars coming out now that are going to start at $73,000. $73,000. If I bought a car for $73,000, I'm going to be living in it. I'm going to stay in. I'm going to put my pillow, and I'm going to eat and everything else in that vehicle. But at the same time, these people are going to worry about how they're going to make the payment every month. And it brings sorrow upon, and then you start having health problems because you're worried about those things. And we need to understand that those things happen within our lifetime. We also need to understand some people get swallowed up during the challenging times. In Job, the sixth chapter, verses 1 through 3, says, But Job answered and said, Oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed, and my calamity laid in the balances together. For now it would be heavier than the sands of the sea. Wherefore my words are swallowed up. And the people do get swallowed up in the problems in their lives. We get swallowed up when we start having sickness within our lives. We start worrying about it. How am I overcoming this? And what can I do for this? And we, again, the work that we do within our everyday life, we let those things eat us up, and we need to avoid those things. Again, Psalms 77, chapter, verses 1 through 4. I cried unto God with my voice, even to the God with my voice. And he gave ear unto me in the days of my trouble. I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Salah. Thus holdeth my eyes walking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. And some people do get in depression and to the point where they can't express their thoughts, can't express or talk to anybody about the problems that are in their mind that they cannot deal with within their everyday life. And we do get swallowed up. And you see where people commit suicide because they are so swallowed up in their problems. And we need to get them to understand there is a place they can turn to. And also, in Proverbs, the 12th chapter, verse 25, it says the fact that if we swim in sorrow, we'll drown. Heaviness is in the heart of man, maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. You ever seen people get to the point where they get so down that they get involved in activities to try to release those problems within their lives, and they end up with bigger problems. We got a whole world out here that will stand there and they'll drink, or they'll use drugs to try to escape reality, to try to escape the problems they face in their everyday life. And where does it get them? Bigger problems. You get somebody who gets drunk, they get behind the wheel of a car, they may end up killing somebody. If they do get caught, they're a house arrest. You got to pay for a lawyer to represent them in court, and they got to go back to classes, and then they got to try to pay their fines and then pay for those classes they're going to so that they can get their license back. And then they got to pay for them all over again. And it ended up costing them anywhere between $5,000 to $10,000. And then you got those who are on drugs heavy enough that they get themselves in problems, and they end up doing things that they didn't realize they did, have done. They get so swallowed up, they get involved in their sorrows so much that they get to the point where they drown in those sorrows. Proverbs 15, chapter verse 13. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Ever see somebody who's always happy besides Dan? I mean, Dan, he got a joke or always got a laugh about something or everything there is. But you ever see people that are always cheerful? I think somebody said something about Rachel Ray when she first got on TV showing how to cook and all this. They couldn't stand her because she was always so cheerful. Can't stand to be around somebody like that all the time. But it does make you better, doesn't it? Don't you make it feel good at times? Be somebody that is always trying to be cheerful and look at the bright side of things. Well, you want to be around somebody that's just constantly complaining. Which would you rather be around? Somebody that constantly complains just takes you down. Gets you a little bit down, then you start complaining about the things that are taking place around you, maybe at the job or whatever. Had an individual down Banner. I've never seen the guy happy. He's always complaining. If you had one or two breakdowns within the day, you had a really bad day. If you had more than that, life was really miserable. Then if it ran really good, you didn't have any problems all day long, he complained because he was bored. I couldn't take it. 8 hours, it ran so good. I was really bored. I want something to do. Complaints. And when you hear that all the time, guess what it does? It rubs off, and you start feeling down, you start feeling guilty about the things that are taking place. And we do that within our lifestyle. And we need to understand that we are not the only person that suffers within this world. And sometimes we think that at points. Proverbs, the 17th chapter, verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Psalms 34 and verse 19. We need to understand we're not the only one that suffers within this life. We all have problems that we face. There's always difficulties in everybody's life. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. We need to learn to turn to God and ask him to help us. And that's what Brother Dan was teaching this morning within his lesson. That we need to go to God, we need to go to him in prayer, talk to him on a one-to-one basis. And sometimes it's good to just set things aside, turn that TV off, and just go to him and talk to him secretly or privately within that room. And have nothing on except him and you. Talk one-to-one. But yet a lot of times we just get down And we should think we're the only ones that got any problems in this life. I'm the only one that got any difficulty. I'm the only one that had that type of sickness. Nobody else has it. You ever talk to somebody and you tell them, they ask you how you are, and you start telling them, and they say, oh, yeah, I have that. And it's worse than what you're describing. I got it so bad. And no matter what you bring up, you could have said you passed away and brought back to life, and they had probably done it 15 times, according to them. They had it so much worse than you. They think that they're the only ones that suffer within this life. And sometimes we start feeling that way, that we feel that we're the only ones that have that type of problems within that life that we face. But we need to understand our approach will make a difference within the way we live. In Psalms 119, verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. What? How do I know about God and what he's like? Unless I go through a little bit of problems. Unless I know some difficulties. How can I understand what Christ went through unless I went through a little difficulties within my life? And then try to understand how much more he went through because he loved me, because he cared about my soul. In 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 7 through 10. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast of all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insult, hardship, persecution, calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That's an Apostle Paul speaking. The fact that he went through all that he went through, he'd been beaten, shipwrecked on several occasions, been thrown in prison, been hungry at times, he counted it as a pleasure. Because he knew he was trying to do God's will. He also realized that because of that thorn, whatever it was that he was trying to get rid of, kept him humble. And sometimes that's what happens within our life. An attitude should be, maybe the problem I'm going through is trying to keep me humble before God, humble before my brother. And that I'm trying to do his will to the best of my ability. I shouldn't be bragging about it. I should be facing these things and praising God that I am suffering through the circumstances I am at times because I'm doing his will. We need to understand that no matter what, we are more than conquerors according to God. Romans 8, chapter, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through that him that loved us. For I have persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, these things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, the Apostle Paul is writing the fact that we go through these tribulations. But does it separate us from God? Imagine. We end up with a lot of sickness. We got diseases that we can't get rid of. Do we turn our back to God? Does it separate us? Do we quit the church because of these problems? I did that a few years ago. Then I realized I got to answer for what I do. I can't answer for others. That's why I came back. And I realized my soul was in jeopardy. But I let something come between me and God that I should never have had done. And you need to understand that if you truly love God and you trust in Him as you should, nothing can come between you and Him. Yeah, we get down a little bit. Yes, we may get a little depressed. We just may let things bother us. But we need to look what God has done for us and how much He cares about us. And we need to understand that. And we need to understand the only one that can separate me from God is me. In Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, verse 12, take care, brethren, for there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. We get discouraged, don't we, at times? And we just feel like, what's the use? That's the evil heart that comes in. And we need to understand we do not let those things creep into our heart, into our mind, that separate us from doing God's will. Also, and I give unto them eternal life, that they should never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's in John 10th chapter, verse 28. Our relationship should be that if I'm with God, realizing the love He has for me, He'll be there all the time. He'll hold my hand. He'll guide me through the things I go through within this everyday life. Like a parent and a child. The parent reaches down and holds the child's hand. The child knows my mother or father is going to protect me. They care for me. They want to help me. And nothing should, they realize nothing can take them away from their parents. Your approach will make a difference because of God we can overcome. In 1 John, the 5th chapter, verses 4 through 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that we had overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. If we have God on our side, who can stop us? Who can destroy us? Nobody. If I got God on my side, I can do anything. I can stand up to anyone in preaching the gospel or teaching those ones that are lost. I can stand up to those brethren that are teaching false doctrine. We are able to overcome all. We are able to overcome our problems in our world because we have a scripture that we can turn to help us, to tell us that God is there for us. And all we got to do is believe that Jesus can. And we have the difference in our attitude that we can overcome our difficulties if we let God be with us. Again, God's love is something that we need to dwell on. In 1 John, the 4th chapter, verses 9 through 10, this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we love God, But he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Did you realize we didn't earn Christ coming down here and living on this earth, dying as he did? He did it because he loved us. He wanted us to be in heaven with him forever. Do we realize that? How much he cared? We talk about once in a while how somebody laid their life down for a loved one. And because they loved them. They cared. They were concerned. He cared for those who were enemies of his Father. And he was willing to do such. He died for all of our sins. He made it where we have the opportunity to receive his word, become obedient to his will, and understand that he is there with us. He cares. But sometimes we get in these difficulties within our life that we just don't think about that love that Christ had for us. Rather than count your problems, sit back and count your blessings. Used to be, I heard the example, is a husband and wife each given a sheet of paper and write the faults down for the other one. Some of them be asking for extra paper, extra sheets, because they'll have a nice little list. Ever think about what's good about them? Why did you marry them? What attracted you to them? Write that down. Think about the blessings that we have. And sometimes we look at the negative so much, we forget about what he has done for us. That we forget that, you know, God has blessed us. Psalms 40 and verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works thou hast done. Thy thoughts which are to us word. They cannot be reckoned up in order to thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than I can be numbered. Ever sit down and try to think of all the blessings God has done for us, especially in your prayer when you go to bed, thanking him. Instead of just saying, thank you for the blessings you give us this day, start going through them. Try to think of all the blessings God has bestowed upon us. I'll tell you what, you can be there for a while, and you're still not going to think of all of them. Because there are so many that we take for granted in our everyday life, and we overlook. God has been there for us. Your approach will make a difference. How bad can life be when you look forward towards abundant life? We need to understand we have heaven as our home. Do we ever keep that in mind as we're going through this life? We also have a peace. According to John 14 chapter verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The fact that God has been there for us and takes care of us. We have a peace as Christians that those out in the world does not have. That's why they turn to other things in their life. Drinking, drugs, smoking, whatever you want to list. Some have gone to the point where they just start eating and they can't quit because they let those problems consume them. Also, the fact that we need to realize we have a peace that, again, the world does not. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep our hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Your approach will make a difference in that the world presents a lot of bad things to ponder. In 1 John, the 5th chapter, verse 19, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." Do we ever ever watch the news? The wickedness that goes on in our everyday life, you hardly ever hear anything good being mentioned on the news. It's always something that somebody done wrong to somebody, or have shot somebody, or anything in that order. And the fact is, they give us a lot of bad things to think about. And we need to do like Brother Dan mentioned this morning, when we pray to God and start fasting, we need to realize what God has done good for us at this point. Your approach will make a difference. Don't forget the good that God has given to us. Again, in Psalms 111 and verse 2, "Great are the works of the Lord that are wondered by all who delight in them." You ever hear the saying, "Stop and smell the roses sometimes"? Take a good look around about us out in the world. The creation has been given to us. The fruit, the products that we get from the ground in our everyday life that we eat, that has been blessed and given to us by God. Our health has been given to us. Sometimes we do complain about that sometimes. But realize God has given us a health that we can still continue in doing His will. There's a man that was paralyzed. There was a preacher. He was on one of them quads and it fell on him and his wife. Paralyzed him for life now. But he kept looking at the bright side. His brother kept trying to uplift him. He is now back in the pulpit in a wheelchair, but he's still preaching God's word. Could we do that? Or would we just gave up and just decide, I can't do it? God has given us a blessing. He's given us an ability we need to use. We got to realize that God is there. And we need to take time to be thankful. How often do we thank God for the things we have? Sometimes most of our prayers are asking for things. Do we actually sit back and thank God for what we do have? 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse 18. "In everything we give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Thank Him for the health we do have. Thank Him for the ability to work. Thank Him for the family that we have, our children, which are a blessing to us, our wives, our husbands, our relatives, even though we may not always get along with them, but they are a blessing. They're there, they're family, they're part of us. We need to be thankful to God for what we've been given. The fact that we have a building to worship in, that we have men who are willing to go out and teach the gospel. Do we thank God for all these things? Do we thank God for the food, the life that we have, that I'm able to get out and drive in a car that goes a couple hours away to attend services with another congregation that are trying to do what's right? Or do we look at it as being, got to drive 2 hours to go over there and worship with them? Really? You're expecting too much. We need to be thankful. Sit back now and then, and I think about these hot days we had, especially last year. And I sit back and think, how did I sleep without air conditioning? I remember having windows up, fans in the windows when small Tyke was about 8, 9 years old, trying to figure out how to sleep. You're tossing a turn because you're hot and sweaty, and you can't put no sheets over you because it's just too hot. I remember congregations having windows in the sides of the building. They put windows up and hope for a cool breeze to come through once in a while. It goes throughout the other window across the building as we've tried to worship. Were we thankful for God for what we have? Are we thankful for the air that we breathe, the water we drink, roof over our head, able to transport myself and others to church to worship Him? Do we take these things for granted? If we make our approach different, we thank Him for all these things. We need to realize that we have things in place to help us to get through all of this. In Psalms 124 and verse 8, our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. What makes us think that God created this heaven and earth? We know that He don't have the ability to help us, to give us what we need to get through these trials and tribulations within our everyday life. Do we really consider what God's word has for us? In Psalms 119, verse 50, He said, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me, made me alive." Don't you feel better when there's a gospel meeting or we have vacation Bible school at the end? Or there's three, or if it's a gospel meeting, 5 days. Don't you feel uplifted? Don't you feel a little bit stronger in the word of God that's been taught within that week? It should. And if it doesn't, then we have to change our attitude. We need to change our thinking process. We need to understand that God is there for us, and He gives us everything we need to deal with those problems in our everyday life. Romans 15th chapter, verse 4. Forever things that were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. When we understand and study the Old Testament, we see the problems they went through, and yet they were patient. They trusted in God. They put their faith in God. They were able to carry on in doing His will. Imagine what it was like for Noah for about 100 years to build an ark, preaching and teaching those who were sinners at that time that God's going to flood the earth. He's going to do it by rain. And they never seen rain before. Imagine the mockery that he was going through at that time. Yet he was patient and did God's will. And him and his wife and three sons and their wives were all saved. Consider what our brethren does for us. 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, verses 5 through 7. For when we were come to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforted those who are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. When he was told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind towards me, that I might rejoice the more. There's nothing more helpful to another Christian is to know that their brother cares for them. And sometimes we don't remember what they have done for us. They've been there for us. They tried to encourage us to do what's right, to stand up for God. Don't quit. Don't give up. And they tried to encourage one another. Keep plugging along. Do we thank God for those type of brothers that are in the church that are willing to help Maybe we realize that we have things in place to help you through it all, but there is a finish line that is still in front of us that makes everything all worthwhile. 1 Peter, first chapter, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith to salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found into praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. If we can make it through these trials and tribulations, if we are faithful to God, look what we have. The book of Revelation tried to describe heaven, what it's going to be like. I think sometimes we just don't quite try to grab a hold of what he's explaining to us. Imagine a place that we can see God and praise him forever. A place that there's no more sorrow, death, no more decay of anything. It's forever. It's so beautiful. He couldn't really describe it in words. He tried to do the best of his ability to tell us what it's like. We have it waiting for us. If we finish the line, if we cross that line, that finish line, do we hold our head up? That's what I liked about that song years ago. I cranked it up. Because it gave you that, I got to be proud. I got to hold my head up. No matter what goes on, I'm holding my head up high. I'm going to go through it. I can't accomplish what God has given for me. But I got to hold my head high. Be proud of what he done for me. Do we realize that? When troubled, let's get our heads up. In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verses 8 through 10, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of our Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. The Apostle Paul wrote this to the church of Corinth. He says, no matter what, we have God on our side. We need to hold our heads up. We need to be proud that God has accepted us. And we need to continue to do his will to the best of our ability that I can get heaven as my home. Now the question is, do you hold your head up? Are we proud of what God has done for us? And that I'm trying to do the best of my ability to be pleasing before him, that I got heaven as my home? No matter what we go through within this life, we need to hold our head up and understand what God has done for us. And we need to be thankful to him for what he has done for us. Please think about those things and change your lifestyle. And just like Brother Dan's mentioned this morning in his lesson, we need to sit back, we need to pray. And if we do need to put some things away to so we can keep to God's word, put it aside. If it's keeping us from studying God's will, put it off. Set it aside. I always thought it was dreadful when I lost cable because I can't afford it anymore. I thought, well, I'll get the antenna out. I can't see the Mountaineers or Pirates or anything like that. But you know what? I don't miss it. I used to be a diehard, I'm still a diehard fan to some degree, but it's not worth it. When I got other things I need to be really doing it besides them. These things, God's Word is more important. How often do you sit down and study your scriptures, the Bible? How often do you pray? How often do you thank God? We need to change our attitude, and we need to start living for God. You may be here this evening and have not yet obeyed the will. We are offering the invitation. You heard His word. You must believe that Christ came, lived, died upon the cross, resurrected upon the third day. That's a start. Then you must repent. Be willing to change your life, live for God, not for yourself. By mouth confession, we claim and make the statement that Christ is the Son of the living God. Then we buried with Him in a watery grave, and we rose up a new creature. Our sins are completely forgiven. We become white as snow. But then we may have done those things, have fallen away, turned our back to God. We can make it right. We can go to God in prayer and ask for your forgiveness. And we try to help you continue to do what's right. We're here together. We're all striving for the same thing. We need to work together so we can all get to heaven. You think about your soul and its destiny. And if we stand and sing the song, Invitation.